Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout. It's a podcast. You know that. Subscribe to it. Go to our website, wbgo.org, produced at 88.3 FM in Newark, New Jersey, the home of the world's greatest jazz station. It has to be at this point, right? Well, let us know. I'm Simon Rettner. Joining us today, somebody that I always enjoy welcoming onto the show, is becoming hopefully an annual tradition to celebrate our WBGO Fall Preview 2020, from auspicious debuts to unearthed gems, 88 reasons to get excited. We have Nate Chenin, WBGO's Director of Editorial Content. But before we bring you that, I think it's time we talk about the virtues of public radio, right, Nate?
Let us count the ways. All of the things that we do, from the checkout to our coverage at WBGO.org, to the special events, special programming like our Yamaha Salon, and, you know, these killer shows that Simon has hosted. All of this is done with your support. We need your help.
And if you go to WBGO.org right now, you can see our fall preview, all the fruits of our labor, tireless hours. I know, Nate, he may not want to admit this, but you actually almost did break your back.
Yeah, as I was finishing up the fall preview, I got this like crazy back spasm, and I was like on the floor, groaning, whimpering, and I swear it was the fall preview that did it to me. It was just too much music for me to handle.
So go there right now and see it. I guarantee you're going to be inspired. And then when you're inspired, we challenge you to make a contribution to support this public radio media station. Not just radio, y'all. Podcasting, journalism. Go to wbgo.org/support right now. wbgo.org/support, or call us at 1-800-499-9246. And we're going to be back with Nate Chenin in just a moment. Thank you. All right, Nate, welcome to the show. I'm so happy that we got this together. It almost didn't happen, but it did. Getting ready for this session, I was getting goose pimples all over my body because there's just so much great music to share with y'all.
That's not an image I savor, Simon, but I appreciate it. It's so much music. It's an incredible amount of music. You know, it is exciting. You know, I remember as I was just starting to pull this list together, doing my research, I was texting you and saying, like, man, you're going to be psyched. There's some really cool stuff right around the corner. And some of it wasn't really public knowledge before we published the fall preview. So that was cool to kind of help these artists break the news and get the word out. But I feel like it's especially exciting for me because I've developed such a relationship with this music, you know, by people like Craig Taborn and Mary Halverson, you know, to know that despite the pandemic, these incredible albums are just about to drop.
I wanted to frame this concept that you laid out so well on WBGO.org of the sequel as a jazz artist.
Some of the stuff I was most interested in on this list was a second album by a project, you know? So not the artist's second album, but the second album of a sort of concept or a project or a band that had a really distinct identity beyond just, this is my new band. I'm thinking especially of Mary Halverson's Code Girl.
Let's listen to that right now. Let's get into it. And you can listen to this on our website, The Lemon Trees.
Thank you.
This is Mary Halverson, the guitarist, composer, along with the rhythm section of Thumbscrew. Also, vocals by Robert Wyatt. Who is Robert Wyatt? I don't even know who that is.
Oh, Nate. Man. Robert Wyatt is really a kind of cult legend. He was the drummer in Soft Machine. And then he subsequently became this kind of sage-like, I don't know, to call him a singer-songwriter feels a little inaccurate, you know, but he is a vocalist and he is a songwriter. And he's just this creative force, you know.
From the UK.
From the UK,
right?
Yeah, he's a British artist. It was Robert Wyatt's example and his music that helped inspire her to create this Code Girl idea or project in the first place. You know, his songs are not conventional. They're not conventionally shaped. They're often, you know, fairly abstract lyrically. And so this is really a great example of what a sequel can accomplish, because, you know, I haven't spoken with Mary about this, but my guess would be that she made this album, Code Girl. It was, you know, widely acclaimed. And, you know, once you have the album done, you've got proof of concept. And so my guess would be that Robert Wyatt heard this thing and he was intrigued and maybe flattered. And, you know, so when they approached him, he was enthusiastic. And so he is this kind of elder statesman whose appearance here feels like a blessing. You know, he's like, it's a benediction that he's on this album. The album's called Artlessly Falling. And Robert Wyatt is on a few tracks, including this one, The Lemon Trees. And he has a more interior voice than Amirtha Kidambi, the main singer in this ensemble. You know, Amirtha has this kind of really sort of bold projection. You know, she's really like strong in her attack. And Robert Wyatt is this more like, almost like a bedroom quality, you know? There's a vulnerability there, but it's so beautiful and it works really, really nicely with those trademark intervals that Mary likes to use in her compositions.
And Mary is keeping the legacy of great album artwork alive on Artlessly Falling. Kind of looks like a Matisse, you know, minimalist mm-hmm. painting.
Yeah.
Somebody falling out of the sky. Let's move on to Josh Johnson, who, surprisingly, because I have worked with Josh Johnson, I've known him for what seems to be like a decade probably. But this is his actual debut recording? That just kind of like broke my head. How is this possible?
Yeah, you know, he's been such an X factor on so many really cool recordings in the last several years. I know, Simon, you and I are both big admirers of Jeff Parker's albums for International Anthem. And, you know, Josh is the alto saxophonist on those albums. And his sound is so beautiful. You know, it's just this like very sweet.
He works with my homie Mark DeClive.
Oh, he
too,
does. That's
you know,
right.
On the
That's right. Yeah. Well, how would you describe his sound?
Well, you know, it's like he's one of these artists where I feel like he's not even really a saxophone player, even though that's his vessel, because he's really engaged with the electronics right. and composition, and he's always has some kinds of pedals or filters. And so I feel like that's just an extension of his saxophone. It's all in mm-hmm. one.
Well, the saxophone is the voice that I associate him with because it's so clearly him. But you're absolutely right. You know, on this album, which is titled Freedom Exercise and comes out on Northern Spy on October 9th. Check this. This is what he's credited with playing on this album. Saxophones, okay, flute, bass, clarinet, all right. But then also Mellotron, Prophet 6 analog synthesizer, 856 for Zeller Sazen. I don't even know what that is. MS-20, Wurlitzer, synth bass, sampler, and percussion. He's the kind of artist who really has a bigger picture in mind. So you never get a sense that there's any kind of showing off here. And so he's joined by drummer Aaron Steele and bassist Anna Butters and guitarist Gregory Ullman. So there is kind of a band sound on this album, as well as the feeling of something that's been like really carefully sort of designed.
In the background right now, you do actually hear one composition that is carefully designed, probably by him only, that intros the album, called 856. But now we're going to segue into something that I can only describe as some country Afrobeat called Western Ave. Slowed down. All right, Josh Johnson, making up part of our fall preview, our massive undertaking here at WBGO.org, where we include talented personnel that work at the station in many capacities, writers, announcers, producers, and actually, oh my God, we have a special guest joining us right now.
What are you up to? Hey, Kiana.
And joining us, Kiana Faircloth, welcome to the checkout. I'm so happy
Thank
you're here.
Thank you. Da, da, da. How's one it going? My, thanks for having me.
One of my
me.
Champion blurbers here.
Nate the Great, Simon Rentner. I'm on the checkout. I really made it now.
That's it. Shut it down. There's nowhere to go from here.
Kiana, I wanted you to come in because you wrote about a few of these records, and naturally, I just wanted you to talk about it. And the first one being Joel Ross, this ridiculous, virtuosic talent that just has music just emanating out of every pore of his body.
Absolutely. And, you know, I really am loving his sophomore effort, Who Are You?, which really is, I guess, a culmination of everything, all of his experiences, really coming into himself as a man and musically up until this point. It's an amazing follow-up to Kingmaker, and he has his Good Vibes crew with him on this album, and you know they're just always killing together. He's got Jeremy Korn on the piano, Emmanuel Wilkins on the sax, Jeremy Dutton on drums, and you know a new collaborator with him, Kanoa Mendenhall, who's on the bass. And one of the tracks that I really, really, for me, stands out on Who Are You would be More. I love the way they sort of trade off between each other, between Emmanuel and Jeremy, and of course Joel on the vibes on this one. It really is just a beautiful tapestry of musical goodness.
More. And as Kiana just sort of referred to, this would fit along your sequel thesis.
Yeah, it's definitely a, you know, it's funny, like the sequel versus sophomore album, it's like, you know, what is the distinction? Where do you draw that line? You know, I don't know if this is a sequel because it's like Kingmaker was, well, I guess I'm talking myself into it. What do you think, Kiana? Because Kingmaker was titled for, you know, like there was a lot of family on that album, right? Like there's a lot of acknowledgement of Joel's twin brother and his mother, and you know, like there was a lot of like family vibe, and I feel like identity is kind of at the core of what he's interested in as an artist. And
I
you know,
agree.
By identity, I mean it's like personal and you know, societal and cultural. And so, Who Are You extends that premise a bit, right? So yeah, sure,
absolutely. I agree. I think Kingmaker really just sort of, he was trying to establish his roots, his foundation, where he come mm-hmm. from, you know, and, you know, paying homage to his family, mom, dad, sibling, all that. And I think this sort of gets more into who he is as a man outside of all of that, how he's matured. I think his sound is being more solidified, I would say, on this particular album, Who Are You, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And it's worth noting that Emmanuel Wilkins released his debut album on Blue Note this summer.
Yeah.
Just a smashing debut. And, you know, one thing I love about this peer group, they are always thinking, you know, like they're the most killing players. They can throw down with the best of them. But at the core of what they do, they're always sort of thinking about, okay, what is the statement I want to make?
Something tells me that we've only heard maybe like 1/20th of what Joel Ross has actually created.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that guy just has loads of music in the closet because he's just constantly producing.
When I talked to him before Kingmaker came out, he told me he already had like five albums all mapped out for Blue Note. There's always something popping up, you
Morning
know, and they're always working on something. So
yeah,
it's really
for sure.
cool.
They have so much stuff just locked and loaded, it seems, you mm-hmm. know, because they have to always be creating. And I think that's what makes them great for sure.
All right, Kiana. So while you're here, your analysis, your thoughts, your emotions on another artist that BGO just beloves across the board, the vocalist Brianna Thomas, one of the pure young voices out there, right?
Yeah, I love her. And we have been, I guess, anxiously waiting for this next album. She hasn't put one out in 6 years, and this album, Everybody Knows, really is, you can tell she carefully curated what she wanted to put into this album with original compositions as well as songs that she's reimagined. Like one of the ones I love that she does is Don't Let the Sun Catch You Crying. It's a really soulful kind of funky version of this song. And she does Nina Simone's Mississippi Goddamn, and she kind of puts in elements that make it really relevant to what's happening in America today. So I think, you know, we were really looking forward to this album, and she really delivers on Everybody Knows, and it's self-released on top of that.
You may prayer. Alabama, you know you got me so upset. Tennessee, you made me lose my rest.
Brianna Thomas Band, Everybody Knows. And we just heard Mississippi Goddamn, damn right. Here we are at sort of this critical juncture at WBGO itself. I feel like we're entering a new age with new directions, hopefully, in the music. A lot of change going on also here at WBGO.org, which is why, I mean, in this transitory period, we need your support, y'all. We need you to come through to support this legacy jazz public radio station, but really it's a media station that brings you things like the fall preview that you're reading and learning about right now, maybe on the podcast. What are the kinds of things that you recognize is important about just what we do, Kiana?
I think one of the major things that people look to us for is what's next. I mean, the checkout, for example, it really does display what's new, what's next, what people are looking towards, especially in this particular genre. And I think being that kind of resource, especially with Nate Janen, and your work that you do, making sure that we are staying on the cutting edge, people look to us for that specifically. So I think you can only get that on WBGO. We are that resource for people to look to. If you're looking for something new, something fresh, wanting to know where this music, where the trajectory of it is going, we're definitely tracking that. And I think you can't find that. You cannot find that anywhere else. I can say that with confidence, that WBGO is certainly that resource.
I mean, you do that so well with The Pulse. We recently had Candace Hoyes on, and she actually did a special performance, which you can watch right now by going to our YouTube channel, one of our favorites here. We presented her with Night Beauty back at the Winter Jazz Festival, when people could actually see concerts. but
doesn't Winter Jazz Fest feel like 14 years ago? I mean,
it does.
You know, hanging out in that lounge and watching Kiana interview Ben Williams, you know, like that was this year.
It feels
how
like
innocent
ages
we all
away.
Were, right? Like we were so naive.
What a difference a day makes, right?
Oh, man.
And our day could be made infinitely better if you can call us right now at 1-800-499-9246. That's 1-800-499-9246. Or go to online, actually, is the easier. If you're listening to the podcast, go online. Make it easy on yourself. WBGO.org/support and give whatever you can. We will accept your very large checks, just so you know. But if you don't have a large check to give, you can give only $10. That's cool, too, because we're public media. We're programming, sponsored, promoted, believed in by the people. The people support us.
I like how you encourage people
here.
Not to use the phone number, but then you told them to send checks.
That's true.
Get out your checkbook.
Right. Hey, as long as we can cash it, that's the bottom line.
Yeah, we don't want that bouncing. Only the music, please. Only the music bounces here.
You can also text, by the way. You can text WBGO to 56512 and pledge your support that way as well.
Mm-hmm. Kiana, you also included some words with Lafayette Gilchrist on the fall preview that you should listen to and read. And who else did you write about?
I also wrote about Luke Stewart's new configuration that he has, the quintet that he's been working with out of Chicago, that really is an intergenerational experience. The music really is one of those things that makes you understand that the future of this music looks certainly bright. And it's one of those things, one of those albums for me that feels like sort of like a museum piece. When you listen to it, you're really transported on his album, which is called Exposure. The group is called Exposure. And Luke Stewart, I don't know if you know, we actually go back to my days at WPFW. He was a host there, and we both shared the same mentor in radio, the late Jamal Muhammad. So we kind of have a connection there, and I'm just so proud of Luke Stewart and where he's been going musically. So I had to cover that one for sure on the fall preview.
I'm so glad you did too, because you know, Luke is this like just force on the ground in DC, and really like maybe the single musician who I think of like holding that scene together right now. And so it's really cool that this album, Exposure Quintet, is a Chicago thing, because I feel like it's like game recognized game in a way,
yeah.
You know? Because he's going to people like Ed Wilkerson and Ken Vandermark, you know? Like, and those are the people that really hold the Chicago scene together.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I see you.
And they never would have come together had it not been for them participating in the Elastic Arts program in Chicago. So that's how they came together and decided to I guess continue upon that experience with this particular recording for sure.
And what track are we listening to, Kiana?
Let's do Awakening the Masters.
Kiana, thank you so much for joining us. Luke Stewart in the house right here on the checkout, and read everything that Kiana does. And thank you. Listen to her show, Afternoon Jazz, every weekday.
4 until 8 p.m. right after the blues break with Michael Bourne.
Thanks,
thank
Kiana.
Thank you, Simon.
What is next? How about some creepy stare babies staring right at you by the volcanic drumming force that we know as Dan Weiss? That is really, really creepy album photo though, right, Nate? I mean, where did he even get that?
Well, it fits with the name of the band and the name of the album, right? This is often described as a jazz meets metal project, but it's worth noting that one of the core influences for Dan Weiss as he composed this music was Twin Peaks. So he was thinking about David Lynch. He was thinking about the music of Angelo Badalamenti. Am I saying his name right? I feel like I always see it and rarely say it. But you know, that very specific sound world, sort of somewhat electronic, but still very sort of haunting. So that's an element in there, that kind of disquieting, creepy and surreal, right? So all of those qualities are in there. It's not just like we're going to take a bunch of jazz improvisers who love metal and play some metal tunes. There's this real sort of melodic, eerie sensibility there, and clearly it also carries over to the album art.
And the super funky beginning of the tune. And you're a drummer, Nate. Like, that beat, how hard is it to play that beat straight through? What is that beat?
Dan Weiss is this master of like sort of systematic thinking, you know? I think he's also a really accomplished tabla player. And, you know, anyone who's gotten acquainted with tabla and that tradition, it's not like just banging on a drum, you know?
It's like you have to remember 60 minutes of music.
Yeah, there's cycles within cycles, and there's all these, you know, different superimposed phrase lengths and you know, metric ideas. And so Dan Weiss is a drummer who knows how to take these overlapping circles, and I think of it as orbital, you know. And so if you listen to what he's playing on this track, there's a beat and there's another beat, and they don't really sync up, but every once in a while the orbits intersect, you know. And so it's really this kind of interstellar approach that he has, and the composition functions in the same way. You know, there are like layers. So, you know, counterpoint would be one word for it, but it's very slippery. And you know, every musician in this band is super adept at thinking along these lines. So he's got
Matt Mitchell, Craig Taborn, Trevor Dunn, Ben Maunder.
Yep. So, you know, some of the greatest improvising musicians on the planet, no big deal. But, you know, these also happen to be people who love heavy music, and they love especially the sort of strain of prog metal that is like super technical and really like aggressive, but also really brainy. So, you know, I know Dan is a big fan of this band Meshuggah, which I've had the pleasure of seeing in concert. And, you know, it's like, you know, taking the most sort of a like technically advanced fusion band, like a Mahavishnu type band, and then like just cranking everything up. And so that's an influence on this group. But, you know, My friend Hank Stiemer has this series he calls Heavy Metal Bebop, and he's talked, I think, to every member of this band about their various metal influences, and it's really deep. You know, this is not dabbling here, you know. And so this is a point I made in my sequels essay. You know, I love the first Stair Baby album. I think they really like landed on something very cool, but then almost immediately they started touring behind that album, and I know you've seen them, right? During a Winter Jazz Fest.
Oh yeah,
maybe?
I mean, Dan Weiss is just the best.
So they stretch out and they knock these tunes around, and they really kind of just, you know, tear into the stuff, and so it became a stronger and stronger band as they toured behind that first album. And so as a result, I feel like this new Stair Baby album, which is called Natural Selection, it's just like everything just feels like firmer and stronger and maybe smarter.
We'll be right back. Dan Weiss, Stair Baby, Natural Selection. Moving on with the keyboardist in this group who finally dusted off a band from almost a decade ago, joyously bringing back some junk magic, Craig Taborn.
Simon, I've got some bad news for you. More than a decade. Yeah, we're getting older, my friend. We're talking 2004. So think about that. This was the final year of the first term of President George W. Bush. I looked it up, man. The original album, Junk Magic, was released in April of 2004. That was the month that Google introduced Gmail. It was the month that we first saw photographs from Abu Ghraib. I mean, you know, if you want a time capsule, it was a long time ago. And you know, everyone in this band has done such great things since, but Junk Magic was always this really special convergence, kind of early to mid-2000s. There was a lot of jazz meets electronica. You remember that, right? It was like, I feel like it became
some of
kind
my favorite music. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but it, you know, it was the thing to do for a while. And I feel like for every Nils Petter Mohlwehr, or, you know, for every person who really understood it, there was also somebody who was kind of like,
you Buga know, Wessatoft, like shout out,
blowing over beats or something. You know, it was like, you know, like not everyone got really deep into it. And when I heard Junk Magic, I was like, oh my God, like this is someone who understands on a molecular level the affinities between these musics. And so,
well, Junk to me, Magic, it's a jazz band through and through.
Sure.
Still, to
yeah. So on the original album, it was Aaron Stewart on tenor saxophone with Matt Maneri on viola and David King on drums. And so on the new Junk Magic album, and I can't tell you how happy I am that I get to say that. On the new Junk Magic album, Compass Confusion, David King returns, Matt Maneri returns, and then we also have Chris Speed on saxophone and clarinet, and Eric Fratsky on electric bass. And if you think about relationships like within a band, you could map this out in some kind of geeky graph. Like the Chris Speed Trio includes Chris Speed and David King. Happy Apple includes Eric Fratsky and David King. Happy Valley Is Now includes Craig Taborn and David King. You know, there are all these different relationships. But you know, what it comes down to is the musicians in this group just, they really, really have a vibe. So with this album, I feel like not only is it true to the Junk Magic formula, they are mapping their own rapport onto this set of ideas that Taborn has. And their ideas about accretion and about sort of the long evolution that you hear in like certain forms of techno. You know, they're about...
Shout out to Carl Craig.
Carl Craig, who has an amazing piece at Dia Beacon, by the way. I highly urge anyone who is looking for a day trip out of New York City to check out Carl Craig in the basement of Dia. But I digress. Yeah, it's just there's so much here, and it's, you know, it's really not a jazz meets electronic album anymore, if it ever was. You know, it's really about taking these different sound worlds and bringing them into dialogue.
And it even sounds like magic to me. I mean, some of that synth literally is the sound effect for magic.
Yeah,
towards the end of the track.
I don't think there's a musician on the planet who has a more sensitive antenna to just sound than Craig Taborn. You know, like, this is someone who just understands the dimensions of sound acoustically, and, you know, technologically. I mean, he's really, he's just always thinking about it. And he has this also super intuitive command of sonics, right? I'm pleased to say that I've heard the album maybe 3 or 4 times through, and I'm, you know, very much still discovering, like, new things around every corner. So this album, which comes out on October 30th on Pyroclastic Records, this is one that I think people will be finding, like I am. They'll be finding new things in it for a long time.
And you wrote a larger feature for this on WBGO.org, aside from the fall preview. Both are on our front page, however, at WBGO.org. This is a jazz thing, I think, right, Nate? An album title that actually becomes the band name. It just seems like it happens with a kind of frequency that you just don't see in other genres of music.
You are putting me on the spot here, but you know, I don't know. I feel like maybe, I don't know. There's got to be an example. Hit us up in the comments with an example. I feel like maybe in country there may even be something like... This is
well,
really
we got
exciting
the
Stair
Baby, we got
here,
the
Simon.
Junk Magic, and we got the Code Girl, right?
Yes, well, those are definitely examples. And I, you know, others that I mentioned in this piece about sequels, Aaron Parks's Little Big, that's another one.
It just speaks to the flexibility of the musicians, right? Which to me is a jazz thing. So maybe I'm being presumptive, but there you go.
Well, I would never accuse you of such a thing.
Almost done with this show. We have one more selection to bring you. However, this will be wrapping up this sort of theme of the sophomore effort or the sequel. So the question that remains for me, are the sequels better than the originals? Is this an Empire Strikes Back scenario?
That's a good reference. Clearly, you... we're drinking the same nerd elixirs that I was. Yeah, you know, it's early still. I need to live with these albums a little while longer. But I got to say, like, when I asked myself the question, do these albums accomplish everything that their precursors do and also show, like, a stronger sense of self? I had to say, yeah, they do. I mean... I have a very special place in my heart for Junk Magic and Stair Baby and Code Girl. These are all albums that I included in my book. These are albums I covered favorably at the time, and I've listened to them often since. But when I heard this new stuff, I was like, they are not just like going back to the well here. Like, they're taking that original idea and they're expanding it, they're extending it. you know, stretching in really cool ways. And that's, you know, what more can you ask of a jazz musician, you know, or any artist really? Take the thing that had a spark and then like move it forward, you know, and ignite something new. That's really the way I think about it.
Well, that's a great way to end on the show. But while we end, we'll take you out with one more recording. And so Nate can briefly just share that with y'all.
Well, this one is maybe a bit of a wild card. And I'm not sure if you've ever talked about this artist before on the Checkout, Simon.
I have not, no.
This is a trumpeter named Steph Richards, who I think anyone who is into new music knows Steph Richards by now. She's really up to something different on her new album. This is called Super Sense, and it's out on Northern Spy on October 23rd. It includes a really great rhythm section with Jason Moran on piano and Stomu Takeishi on acoustic bass guitar and Kenny Wollison on drums. So, you know, already we're interested, right? Like this is just a killer band. But there's another component here. She collaborated with a multimedia artist named Sean Raspe, and he developed a bunch of scents, and they interact with the music. So some of the compositions that she wrote were inspired by these odors that he created. And in some cases, I think the odors were created in response to the music. So there's this dialogue between the musical side and then this like sensory information.
This sounds like the perfect project for National Sawdust Theater.
Totally, right? She talked about how she really wanted to take this on tour and like pipe some of these scents into a space, you know, and COVID derailed that. But in the meantime, this album is going to come out on LP. There will be, I kid you not, a scratch and sniff card that will be released along with the LP, so you can listen and you can and you can smell along as you do. Now, you know, all of that sounds like super silly, right? I mean, we're laughing at it.
Like, music fans kind of sound very obnoxious, but I love it too at the same time.
You know what, though? If like experimental improvising artists aren't the ones to take a big swing and do something crazy, then who's going to do it?
It's
you know
true.
What I mean? Full disclosure, I don't know what these things smell like. In the press release, Richard says that one of her favorite scents was of cricket exoskeletons. So, you know, we're not talking about like lavender or, you know.
Oh my God.
There's no lemongrass in here. You know, like these are like weird, but I have heard the music and it's killer. You know,
and of course, now it completely makes sense that Jason Moran is on this recording, and this probably should be the next performance following Carl Craig at the Dia Beacon.
Oh, I love that idea. I mean, you know, knowing Jason, he's probably got like a vial of that cricket exoskeleton stuff, and he like dabs it on before he goes out to dinner, right? no, it's super. It's just super interesting. Like, who would have thought that this was coming? You know, and before we hear it and go out, I think it's worth acknowledging this thought that Steph articulates, which is that, you know, so much of our music listening habits now are so disembodied. They're so abstract, and, you know, we're streaming things where it's just music is just kind of in the air. It's ethereal. And so not only does she want to encourage us to have the tactile experience by, you know, by buying a physical product, she also wants us to feel like we're enveloped by something, or, you know, like that the rest of our senses are engaged. And so this is an idea that has been explored, you know, quite a bit when you're talking about visual engagement. You know, everybody makes videos, and, you know, we're accustomed now to sort of listening with our eyes as well as our ears. But she's like, okay, well, that's only two of our senses, you know? Like, what if we rope another one in here? And what if we, you know, engage with this thing that we all don't think about very much, which is, you know, our sense of smell and how it connects us to the world around us. And so I think it's really cool that that Steph Richards chose to go there. And I you know, I'm not kidding when I say I can't wait to smell this stuff, you know? But in the meantime, we've got the music, and it's really accomplished and very cool.
Thank you, Nate. And make sure to support us if you enjoyed this and now your interest has piqued and wanting to taste some, do some cricket tasting. Maybe we've provided you a path for that. I'm quite sure there's probably no other music podcast. Well, maybe there will be, but you've heard it here first. Thank you so much, Nate. And go to wbgo.org/support and make a contribution. And we'll see you next time.
Peace.
Have you made a contribution yet? Come on. I know you can give a little to support this show. And it's so easy. Just text WBGO to 56518. Again, text WBGO to 56518. Or go to our website at wbgo.org/support. Thank you, everyone who has supported this program over the years. And I will do my best to just keep bringing you the music. That's what this show does. Follow us on social media at Checkout Jazz. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.